Hello, diamond beauties and interdimensional beings of light. It's Lisa here, your mystic guide, inviting you to come and take a ride with me as we journey through space and time. Our mission is to create conscious content for 1111D, sharing resources of light for the new reality. Welcome to the Buddhist Biohacker.
Buddhist Biohacker would like to thank our partners Block Therapy, Purity Coffee, Dry Farm Wines, Omnia, and 2-1 Photography. Information can be found on lisamgunshore.com. Join our forum at miwi.com/Buddhist Biohacker and watch live on YouTube on the Buddhist Biohacker channel.
Good morning, everybody, and good afternoon, depending on where you are in the world. And welcome in. Welcome to the Buddhist Biohacker YouTube channel. My name is Lisa Gunshore, and I'm really excited about our little podcast episode today because we are bringing to you our One Heart, One Earth Global Healing Clinic practitioners. And we're going to be talking about fall preparation today, which is really exciting. So for everybody who's joining in the live, you can ask questions, share your comments as always in the chat boxes, whether you're on Twitter or YouTube or Apple TV or Periscope. We're live on all four as of today, which is super awesome. And I'll get into our clinicians and who's joining us here in a second. The One Heart, One Earth Global Healing Clinic is a virtual wellness clinic that we established last month, which was really exciting. And what it is it's a group of us who are holistic health practitioners who really just want to create a safe space where you can trust the practitioners. You know, we've all vetted each other and know each other and respect each other. So it's a great space to find a clinician or a practitioner, depending on what modality you're looking for. And we offer affordable healthcare, so we try to keep our prices very affordable for each and every one of you. Hi, mind wide open now. Welcome. And thank you for the love and light you're sending also. And part of the OHO clinic that I really love is you can donate to pay for somebody else's healthcare appointment. You can also fill out the form on our OHO clinic page and actually request to receive donated healthcare as well. So it's an opportunity for you to get support if you need it, even if you can't afford it. And during this time, that's so important. So that's my little spiel about the OHO clinic. I have all of our information for connection with us down at the bottom, and we are adding practitioners this week. So do look for that information to come up. So I want to introduce two of our clinicians, Cheryl Garcia, the Colorado herbalist, and April Meganson, who is a yoga therapy practitioner and more. So welcome, you guys.
Hello.
Thanks for having me on, Lisa.
Yes, I'm excited. So we're going to talk about fall, and I was saying yesterday that I love fall. So I am Vata Kapha, is my Ayurvedic dosha. So summer's bad for me, so bad. Like, I hate being hot. I feel very sluggish. My energy's low. I just can't stand it. So here in Colorado, the weather has totally changed. It's so incredible and beautiful. And Cheryl's in Colorado too. And Tuesday, it's 40 degrees and kind of snowy. So we're like going straight from summer to winter, and I couldn't be happier. I'm so happy that it's cooling off, and so that's how I feel about fall. I just love it. I love the fashion. I love the food. I love that I'm not hot. I actually have energy. I did my hair today. It's an amazing thing. So that's my initial intro to fall.
Well, there's 110 heat index in Virginia Beach right now, so.
Oh my God.
No,
that's so hot.
Oh, I can't even. Yeah, I don't do summer either. Yeah. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
I am absolutely thrilled for fall because it's been 95 and stuff.
Yeah, it's been a little too much. And we had fires here too. So we had smoke in the sky for several days. And so April, what's it like? Because, you know, it's interesting. Mm-hmm. We have all these different places. Like, what does it cool off there? Like, how late in the year does it cool off there?
It starts to cool off in, I would say, mid to late October. And, you know, we get snow in the winter every once in a while. So it's really, you know, you can also have a really, really nice 75 degree day in January, February. So we have four really nice seasons. I mean, our summer just goes a little longer than, you know, north or where you are. And our Septembers have been a lot hotter in the past few years as well. So it's been a very hot month for us.
Yeah, gosh, I couldn't do it.
It's a lot.
Yeah. I miss the beach and lived on Maui for a year and I miss the beach, but I don't miss being hot. Like if I were to move back to Hawaii, I would live up on Haleakala on the volcano where it's cool every day and then drive down if I wanted to be warm. I just couldn't be hot. So I want to open up to you ladies, like, what are your fall preparations for your health? Like, what are some of the things that you guys do or want to share about fall?
Well, so what I like about fall is the whole kind of the able to be bundling up. So the turning in, the bundling up, the crisp air and stuff. So, and the change in the foods. Like you get to go to the soups and the hot teas and the heartier foods. I don't know. I really love fall.
I know.
I'm so excited, but it's kind of that, I know that it's kind of that time where you're not completely holed in like in winter. So you can like still get outside and enjoy it, but it's still a time of reflection and stuff too. I really like that part of it. So it's that whole changing over.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the transition energy. What about you, April? Yeah.
Well, like I mentioned, our fall weather doesn't start probably until mid to late October, November. I love fall. I say that about a lot of seasons. I especially love it. I love the spices, like the warming spices, the cinnamon, the nutmeg, mm-hmm. the fall cooking. Like I love, you know, all the Thanksgiving foods and, I love getting sweaters out and, you know, being able, like right now, I can't even really walk my dog that well because it's so hot for him that it's just too much. So I get to go out for longer walks and, you know, it's really beautiful to watch nature change as well and just kind of connect to how that's going. I mean, in a way, we are moving into the end of the cycle year, like the seasonal year, not necessarily the calendar year, even though that's true too. You know, according to traditional Chinese medicine and Ayurveda too, it's kind of a time of starting to move inward and reflect. And there's also a time of like maybe grief in a strange way where we reflect on the past year, and we got a lot of reflection to do this year. Wow. So it's a really interesting time. And the interesting thing is our culture is the exact opposite of that. Because we've got, you know, all these holidays coming up in November and December. And so we're actually like pulled away from what nature is doing. Like if we think what nature is doing, the leaves with fall off the trees and the trees withdraw and the animals are storing up, like all the squirrels around here are going into the pine cones and the things are everywhere all over the streets because they're getting ready to store up. And that's a very natural thing to do. So it's really interesting that such a quiet, reflective, you know, it's the season of many light holidays like Hanukkah and all of that, because we're moving towards the shortest day of the year with the sun. So, you know, it's really interesting. And I just, at this time of year, I start to kind of do that same thing naturally. I move more inwards and then really just kind of figure out where I want to be and what I want to say yes to, and what I may say, you know what, thank you so much for inviting me. This year is going to be a lot different, obviously, because of the situations we're all in. So that'll be really interesting to see as well.
Yeah, I'm with you. It's going to be really interesting. And, you know, I'm a Scorpio, so, and I'm like late Scorpio in the Western astrology and Vedic astrology. I'm like right on the money with Scorpio. But the point is, Scorpios love to be like to go within and to go into their little caves and shells and into the darkness. And I'm like you guys, like part of what's so great about fall, going into October, November, December, especially, is that going inward, really reflecting back on the year before. To me, that's the time to do really in-depth shadow work, you know, is to sit. I tend to do a lot of research and contemplative practice in the fall, because it's the time, like it starts, it's not as light out as late. So instead of going and doing something in the evening, you know, you're pulling up in your chair with your tea and like reading through things. And I go back, I save all my journals. So I usually go back about October timeframe, headed into like my birthday month. I go back through all my journals from the year, kind of see, and I have a lot of them from this year, like a lot happened this year. And so really reflecting back is really important. And I wanted to share that fall is really Vata season in Ayurveda. And so when you think of Vata, Vata is the element of air. And so you think of those like leaves falling off the trees and they're all dry and crackly, you know, or the crackling of the firewood in the fireplace and the wind blowing, you know, fall kind of tends to bring more wind element into our weather. And so things to think about with Vata and imbalance is that dry, crackly energy on your skin. So you got to start watching for dry skin. You want to make sure you're really oiling, practicing Abhyanga, which is self-massage with oil, and also ingesting more oil. So, you know, a spoonful of ghee in the morning, or your buttered coffee, or your bone broth, or any soups or stews where it has like that slick of oil on the top is actually what you really want during the fall season, during the Vata season. And like, I think like you were saying, Cheryl, to the squash and the pumpkin, and, you know, really starting to cook with those. And interestingly enough, sweet potato and pumpkin are really grounding for Vata energy. So if your Vata is imbalanced in the fall, you can have dry skin, but you can also have a lot of anxiety. Your nervous system is ruled by Vata. So just keep in mind, if you start to have anxiety and stress, we're going into election week, you know, season here in the United States. So, you know, if you're feeling anxiety and stress, like keeping to those like pumpkin and squash and sweet potato, like those nice grounding foods to kind of pull you inward is really good. And just oiling is really important. So those are some of the things I wanted to throw out about fall that I think are important. And air and wind, work with air and wind element, you know, it's movement, you know, and I think really sitting and letting the wind kind of blow over your body. If it's windy or you have a breeze outside, just go kind of feel the wind and see what it's all about. I think that's important to do too.
Yeah. In Chinese medicine, it's metal. And which is lungs and intestines. So you have the cleansing. And then, as you said, the dryness with the lungs, and making sure the moisture. And then if you get anything, if you do happen to get the mucus and the cold, making sure to naturally let that process and clear out. So that goes along with the dryness and the crispness in the air too.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
The other thing that happens with Vata a lot of times is joint issues as well. So that's a really interesting thing to keep up with really protecting joints and just, you know, going through all the movements of joints, including fingers. You know, we got a lot of joints in our fingers and toes and feet. Our hands and feet have over half the bones in our body. So we've really got to stay very active and moving like all parts, especially the smaller joints. Because, you know, you can wake up with a lot of stiffness this time of year, especially as the temperatures really fluctuate from, you know, evening to midday or whatever. And yeah, movement is really helpful. Walks are really helpful just to ground as well. But, you know, just deliberately moving joints around.
Yes.
That's a great idea. Is there like a yoga pose, or I don't even know what I'm asking, but or is there something in particular, April, that you like to do when you're working with joints? I mean, I know you're talking about rolling them, but like, is there?
There's something called the Dasha Chalana, which is the tin churnings that I teach every once in a while. I teach it more in the fall just because, you know, fall and spring are the switchover times, and you can really feel that in your joints. And it's just, it's kind of just getting through almost every joint of your body. You know, starting at the ankles and knees, moving a lot of different ways in the hips, moving the spine always, moving, you know, the elbows and the shoulders and the hands and wrists, and even where your skull meets your cervical spine. So, you know, I really work with that type of movement and joints. Otherwise, you know, I'm always talking about don't dump into your joints, you know, in your posture, like our strength holds us out of our joints. So, you know, we really have to, you know, the second tier to that is just really watch for posture as well. And all of us, I walk by a mirror and most every time I'm like, oh gosh, what just happened there? Right. So, I mean, it's just it's an awareness practice as much as anything else.
Okay.
Yeah.
I like it. What else about fall, you guys? I was looking at my notes and the mucus is a big thing. Oh my gosh. And I definitely had it with my strep throat, my sinus infection. It's still lingering. And one thing I noticed, so I have this lovely dichotomy where I'm very vata. So I'm always doing, you know, I'm meditating and moving and doing all these things. And then I get out of balance and my kapha kicks in to like yank me back into my body, whether it's creating extra matter on my body or whether it's creating all this fun mucus. And so I have found that one of the best things that I can do for myself is to oil my body. So I do that like almost every day, actually. I use a Vata Kapha oil blend from Bonnie and Botanicals, and I mix that with some olive oil and some coconut oil too. And I kind of make this little blend, and then I like oil after the shower, after a bath. It's really good if you do it before you go to bed and you kind of go to sleep and let all the oil soak in. And I can't say it's like a massive like weight loss technique, but I've noticed a difference in my energy and my skin and getting out of balance. And Banyan just came out, and I just became a partner of theirs. So I don't have any of their links for you guys, for me, but it doesn't really matter. I've been using them for like 15 years, but they just came out with a new product that I just ordered, which is a turmeric blend just for mucus. So I'll keep you guys posted because it's supposed to be. I had ordered it just thinking like, oh, this will be nice to have on hand. And then my face exploded with mucus. So I guess I'll let you know how it is. But they have a brand new blend for this season, probably because of everything that's going on with the virus, I'm guessing. But anyway, so that's just oiling, I think, is really, really important. And I'm wondering too, like, lubrication is important. So, you know, April, what you're saying about lubricating the joints and moving the joints is just important.
I think also, you know, I was trained in Ayurveda in my yoga therapy program. I think also it's really important to be really clear about what you are. Because if you're Vata, then this time is going to be especially challenging for you to stay in balance. You know, if you're maybe not so Vata, like this might not be as challenging for you. So, you know, I think it's so individualized in a lot of ways, because for me, this, I'm Vata Pitta. And interestingly enough, the more I got balanced in my Vata, which is the wind element, and then Pitta's the fire element. And I'm a redheaded Aries. So now you can imagine what's emerging more is a little Pitta because I got the Vata under control. So I looked back in all my journals about, I don't know, 7 or 8 years ago, and it shocked. You just look back. You don't even know what you're doing. I don't know what I'm doing half the time. I just get led. I noticed in November, I always had like some type of not true mental breakdown, but like I really was in a fit in November most of my life. And I'm just like, as soon as I came into more balance with my Vata, it's just gone. Like I don't have it anymore. And if I know that I'm feeling that way, I know why. It doesn't spin up into tornado worthy, you know, type of experience. So it's really interesting to know what you are and what you primarily are. As far as that goes, it's really helpful. And there's a lot of methods and, you know, Chinese traditional medicine is really helpful with the metal and the lungs. And I think it's just helpful to research and try what works best for you during each particular season as well, not just fall. However, there is a lot, as you said, there's a lot more anxiety. There's a lot more spinning up. There's a lot more, a lot more movement, but there's also in balance, there's a lot more creativity available. And, you know, these kind of wind moving elements, intuition, all that type of thing is also very available too. So it's a real balancing act, I think.
Yeah, that's such a good point, April. You make me think too, like, they always said, I think the veil's dismantled at this point, but you know, the old story was that, you know, the veil's thinner in the fall and you think of Halloween and, you know, just connecting with spirit. And so I love what you're saying too about, just that the intuition and the creativity increases, but yeah, it's definitely a time to fall is my favorite season because I feel better. But like you said, I have to be really careful because I'll get into a creative project and I won't sleep for like 3 days. And that's how the documentary was built. And so then things like this strep throat and sinus infection happen. So you do have to be careful about knowing your balance.
Yeah.
And I also want to say on the dryness of the air, it has been shown in studies that there's higher anxiety in people in, basically that sleep in drier air conditions. So in the use of a humidifier when you sleep can actually lessen anxiety. So there's a correlation between less humidity, drier air, and higher anxiety. So they've had studies on that. So that might help too. That's with that part at least. So I don't know.
I think there was also a study that maybe similar study or the same study about immunity in dry air as well. It lowers your immunity in dry air.
That yeah, very well could be too. So of course, try to stay hydrated. Like we say that all the time, but most people don't drink as much as they think they drink enough, but they really don't. But also if you just, if you like your herbal teas, put some marshmallow root in it or marshmallow leaf, and that gives you that extra, it's actually kind of a lubricating thing when you drink it. It goes through your whole system too. So.
Oh, that's cool. And that's marshmallow root?
Uh-huh. Okay. Yeah. It's a demulcent, which basically means it's slimy, but it won't taste slimy. It's like when it gets in your system, it works kind of slimy. It doesn't come out slimy. But that's how I remember that word, demulcent slimy, but it's not really.
Oh, that's good to know. I just got some reishi mushroom tea too, because I thought, you know, I'm going to try some reishi mushroom for the fall to help with my immune system as well. Because I think I get really set on my turmeric teas. Like I just love my turmeric teas. And so in the the spirit of not doing the same thing over and over again, because your body can get used to it. I'm going to try some reishi mushrooms. So I'm going to look for, do you buy marshmallow root like tea, or do you have to make it?
So I think you can buy it as a tea. Usually probably with something else in it, in a tea bag. In Colorado, of course, we have our lovely natural grocers, and I think they sell it bulk.
Okay.
Licorice root is also the same type of, it's a demulcent also. It's just, if you have blood pressure issues, you need to be careful with using licorice root. So, but it's the same type of thing too. Some people just don't like the flavor of licorice root.
Okay.
But yeah, it's fall is also, it is the time to use the tonic herbs, like the reishi, all your medicinal mushrooms, like reishi and astragalus and tulsi or holy basil and all of those to prepare your body for the onslaught that is flu season and cold season and strep throat season and everything when kids go back to school and share. The only thing they share, you know, are viruses. So yeah, that's good to get into that. And also I wanted to say also, so like the reishi mushrooms, if you wanted, I was realizing that not everybody is like me that orders stuff online and has a whole apothecary of the goodies. That medicinal mushrooms, if you have a grocery store that has like a funky mushroom section in the produce area, some of those mushrooms you can buy fresh, like lion's mane, and some other medicinal mushrooms that right now my brain went kapooey. But not your regular button mushrooms or anything, but you can buy them fresh and you can make a stew with them. And those are tonic. They help your immune system. They're very healthy and you can make a really good stew, add it to any other soups or anything. And that would be good for people to do coming into this colder season also.
I just saw lion's mane at Sprouts. I was shocked.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
I know. It's yeah. A, yeah.
I just
and it's super good for you.
Okay.
So yeah, getting into those, making the soups and the teas and the, I mean, not everybody likes the teas either. Us herbalists tend to be a little weird that way. We tend to like our teas more than some other people do. but yeah, I mean, I love the soups and stews and getting all the good root vegetables and boosting your system and preparing it and keeping you warm too. Cause when you're having the hot spices, the warming spices, not the hot spices, sorry. You know, and you can put them in those and put them in your teas or even your hot chocolate. You can put cayenne in your hot chocolate or your, you know, mess with the flavors and see what's, try something new. That's what I love about this. It's like a,
making
you know,
a book right now.
I know. It's like, I don't know. It's like kitchen witchery. You can just create something and then it's, I just love doing it. It's awesome. And it's healthy.
Yeah.
And healing. Yeah.
So speaking of kitchen witchery, I have a kitchen altar for my spices, you guys. No joke.
Ooh.
So I just cleaned that out and I have these little tiny jars of spices, of all the different bulk spices that I buy for, you know, the immunity and stuff. And so I've been teaching the kids, like they cook with me every once in a while. And so they like to sprinkle in all the magical spices, you know, into the food. It is great because you can just kind of, once you know what spices are supporting your immune system, you can throw them into anything and it's good. Yep. You're getting it in your system. I found my immune system's a lot stronger in the last 2 years using cooking and using spices consistently before when I would use other stuff. I didn't not use spices, but I definitely didn't use like specific,
right,
you know, Ayurvedic spices specifically, but like cumin and coriander and fennel and turmeric and cayenne and all these things, but it's pretty fun to like have kind of make your kitchen its own little healing space, I think.
Yeah. And it should be, I think. Exactly. I don't think people realize that, that is that how healing that is, the spices, and it's not specific to just certain people to tell you what. It's in your kitchen. It can be your food and your spices and your herbs that you cook with, and it's in your control. It's in your power. And I think the more people realize that and start experimenting and trying it out, that not only do they have the control and the power to do it, they're going to heal themselves too. And that's huge. We need to quit giving that control to somebody else when we don't have to.
Mm-hmm.
And it's fun. Don't be scared of it. It's fun.
April, what's your story with tea? Because you post all these cool pictures on Instagram. You're like a little tea guru.
Well, it's really interesting that you asked me that, because in March, I read this book, and you might have read it. It's The Book of Tea.
I've heard of it.
Yeah, it's incredible. And it was written in 1907, I think. And it's a collection of essays from this Japanese man that actually was a professor, and he would go to these garden parties and talk about the way of tea, or teaism, it's called. And so I just got so incredibly, I already have loved tea my whole life. However, what I realized was this is what I do in a cup. Like, this is literally what I do, because in the Japanese way, and I'm learning about this section right now, so there's two things that this moment with this person or this cup of tea will never happen again and has never happened again or before. And the other thing is finding a lot of just gorgeousness, just beauty and imperfection. So it goes way deeper than that, but it's just, it's an actual way of tea. I mean, these tea masters in the 1500s, especially, like, you know, they created, you know, a lot that we work with today as far as flower arranging and, you know, all of these amazing things. So yeah, I looked online and I decided to become a tea sommelier. So I've got a second module. And now I've got 6 modules after that. So, and they're 6 weeks each. So I guess maybe next year it'll happen. But it's really incredibly exciting to learn about it. It's just so interesting and so fulfilling. And you know, I have people over for teas and do cuppings. And people, everybody that comes over has a story around tea. Like this woman in my shop, and she helped me through this hard time. And my grandmother used to make tea. I mean, it's such an incredibly connecting place of presence. It's really interesting. So that's what I've been doing.
That's amazing.
That's so cool. Yeah. Girl, I feel like you'd be into that.
Yeah, I would. I so would.
So there's not a lot about herbal teas yet. I think we get to that a long time away, but you know, there's only regular tea. Yeah, it's regular. It's Camellia sinensis. So there's only 16 types, and they're all made from that leaf, which is just even so much cooler, you know, because like this one leaf is producing all these different things depending on how it's processed.
Yeah, I do regular tea, black tea, and I don't just do herbal tea. I took a trip to England, and the biggest thing was I had to do a high tea, which is a whole nother, it's beyond tea. It's a whole nother thing. And I had like, I do tea in general. If it says tea, I do tea. So yeah, I'm like addicted to tea. So yeah, I would love that. So it sounds amazing.
It does.
And so beautiful.
Everybody can follow April at April,
yes,
at April Renee Yoga on Instagram. And I really am looking, yes, I want your tea posts. Like, I'm not even kidding. Like, I see those tea, yes, posts and they make me joyful. There's something about it because it's like this reminder of something that is so simple. And yet it's so much, you know, this, it's very nurturing, it seems like.
It, yeah, is. I think it's so present. It's so present because, you know, I was telling somebody the other day, or I have a post coming up. I have a couple of them written out, and I was talking about how, you know, one tea you can taste in the middle of winter and it reminds you of summer, or you can taste tea in the middle of summer and it reminds you of winter. It's like it's a taste for almost everything, which I think is just so profound.
That's amazing.
You can sit and sip a cup of tea while you're doing work, and maybe it's, one of my friends calls it not a thinker. And then maybe you sit across from someone and you have this incredible cup that is super complex, that was in, you know, in this tea garden that's been there for thousands of years, that's refined. And, you know, it just depends on what, it doesn't have to be the same thing. You have just such myriad voices. It's just, it, and the more I know about it, the more it opens up. Like, you know, China is the only country in the world to have all six tea types. Do you know the six tea types?
No. Yes, please.
White tea is the least processed. So it goes from least processed to most fully processed. White tea is the least processed. Then you have yellow tea, which is named that after, you know, the emperor's tribute, the Chinese emperor's tribute. Then you have green tea, which is, and then you have black tea, which is like, oolong tea, which is, you know, 20 to 80% oxidized. And there's a huge range of oolong between all of that. And I mean, you can get one that's very much like a white tea, or you can get one that's very much like a black tea, but it has all these nuances in it. And then you've got black tea, which in China is called red tea. And then you have pu'er, which I think is the most fascinating right now, because
pu'er, I just had a cup of that.
Pu'er is fermented. It's the only one that's oxidized and fermented. So
I just had that today. Yes.
Really, okay. Really powerful healing. So anyway, that's the six tea types. And then within the tea types, there's just incredible variation, yeah, of processing the leaves. And then when you have the leaves, you actually get to see them unfurl. I mean, that's part of the beauty as well. You know, you get a dragon pearl, jasmine, and you've got a little tiny ball, and then you do, you know, you steep it. Some of these beautiful teas can be steeped up to 10 or 15 times.
Wow.
You don't do it one time. I always steep a cup of a tea three or four times at least.
Yeah.
But you get to see it unfurl, and this huge leaf comes out, and it's all green and beautiful, and it's got its, like, little things. A tea tree I can grow outside. I bought it like about 6 months ago, so I get to look at my tea tree.
Wow.
Oh, that's so cool. You're reminding me. So I had a meeting like 6 or 7 years ago with this woman here in Denver who does Turkish tea readings, and they read the foam. So like you take a sip of the Turkish tea, which is a thick, and then you pour it out. That I'm gonna have to find her info and get her on the show. I think her name's Shivana or something like that. But what was wild and crazy was I still have that recording. She had told me I was gonna meet someone at the time. I was single, and she's like, "You're gonna meet someone in the next like 18 months, and they have 4 kids." And I did. I met my husband. He has 4 kids. So she was totally right. She told me all sorts of cool stuff. Just reading, like, and she takes a picture and you get the picture of like your tea reading. And I was with her in person, like sitting there. So I'll have to find her and get her on the show, because you're just reminding me of that. Like, you know, the reading of the tea leaves and the foam and all that stuff is pretty fun too.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Fall is good for tea. I'm stoked. I love your tea posts, April.
That's so good to know. I know. I've actually found so much interaction, because it's just something every single person can relate to, you know. Mm-hmm. Somehow everybody's got, whether it's southern sweet tea here in the south, and whether it's, you know, their grandmother, you know, made tea for them with honey. I mean, who knows what it is, but it's so amazing because I just have so many stories of people coming to me and saying, this is what this means to me. It's just meaningful. It's meaningful and connecting, and it keeps you very present and very like connected to your body. So really grounded because you're using every single sense, including mm-hmm. your touch, because you pick the leaves up to examine the dry, the wet leaves, like you examine them, you know? So it's so interesting from, it's just been fascinating that all this comes from one type of leaf, you know?
Wow. I love
that's amazing.
The other day, this is interesting too, because fall's kind of a cleaning time, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm going to put a post up about this, but there's this beautiful book called The Seahorse Road, and it's by this man named Jeff Fuchs. I don't know if I'm saying his name right. Anyway, he traveled the Seahorse Road, which is in the tea region of China all the way up through Tibet. And he talks about, going on foot over the mountains, and it's like a thousands of year old trail. It's a beautiful book. Anyway, he posted something on Instagram, and he had this old, I wish I had it in here. He had this old iron pot, and it was all rusted and all that. And he said, I got advice to put this in boiling water with a lot of loose green tea. And it came out, and it was like perfect. And so I thought, I'm going to try that, because I had one of those old pots that's just been sitting around. It was rusty. You know which one I'm talking about, the cast iron. That's kind
yeah.
of And so I did it one night. I put it in, and I stirred it with one of my silver spoons, and my silver spoon came out clean too. So I go, oh my gosh, I took all my silver and threw it in the pot with the tea boiling, and it all came out clean. So I mean,
wow.
Your silver jewelry, I don't know about any stones, so you might want to watch that, but you don't have to go through and polish every little thing if you have silver. Or buy that silver stuff. You just get a bunch of loose tea, boil it for a couple hours, and I'm telling you, it gets into all the little spots. So it's really, I was like, a little shocking find.
Man. Oh my gosh, I love that.
That's great.
What happened for fall? I can't even tell you guys. Like, I just, even having this conversation, I'm like, oh, thank God. I'm so ready for that. And the little girls are so excited to decorate the house for fall because they've been used to me now. We've been together now. This is our fourth or fifth fall together. And they know, I'm obsessed with, fall. So I have all these fall decorations. So they were texting me, wait till we get there because we want to put up the decorations with you. Because they knew I was, ready to do it. They were like, it's time to get the pumpkins out. And I love it because it just reminds me, I think I'm having this nostalgia that it started to come on last week. Something was in the air. Maybe it's the astrology. I don't know. But I feel this nostalgia for the old, back in the 2000s, early 2000s when I did all my little witchy stuff and followed the seasons and had my little pumpkins and cauldrons and I went to a besom making class. So my weird thing is I love to make besoms, the brooms. I love making besoms. It's really fun to make your own because you're using them to sweep away negative energy. And so I just have been really nostalgic remembering all of that. And I'm like, I really just want to get out all my magical stuff and get ready for fall. And with everything that's happened this year, the energy of September is very much a quarantine energy, but in a positive way, like a coming inward and really, being with family and that kind of thing. And I feel like fall, it's kind of like a restart of remembering what it's like to be connected to the earth and to the seasons and to be at home brewing your own stuff and cooking things homemade. And I don't know, I'm just having this very nostalgic kind of feeling about this fall. And it just makes me joyful. I don't know what else to say about it. It makes me happy. Now, are you guys, are we going to put any recipes or what are we going to put up on our OHO article page? Cheryl, I was thinking about your fire cider for everybody who missed her fire cider episode. Her fire cider is insane. And we should probably put that recipe up. I don't think it's up. Do you want to talk about your fire cider? Because I feel like that's a fall thing, isn't it?
It is a fall thing. Yeah, so fire cider was created by Rosemary Blackstar back in the 70s, I believe. And it's made with just ingredients you can get in the store, onion, garlic. See, I'm going to forget now. Peppers, all sorts of good stuff. And then you let it sit for like about 4 weeks. And it's really good immunity booster to keep your immunity going. And it's a good time to get it started because then it'll be ready, you know, right in the beginning of October for the rest of the fall and winter. And yeah, we should get that. I'll get it up there again. And it's really good. And it's good. You can take it daily straight if you want. You add honey to it also. It's good as a salad dressing. I made a remoulade with it. It's just, it's really good. I like it a lot.
Yeah, we got to get that up. So yeah, we'll do that for sure. And I'm working on my fall guide right now. So that should be up. I want to say today, but I'm not going to overcommit. So it'll be up by the end of the week. But yeah, for sure, it's almost done. So, and it's really just a quick guide. But I do have some great links for you guys in the guide for your local resources, depending on where you are in the United States specifically. So if you're out of the United States, I'm so sorry, I don't have those resources. I got to work on that because we have a lot of folks from the UK and Australia and here in South America. But what I will say is for the US, I have some links for you for guides to your local produce, because it's really important to eat local and seasonal versus trying to get something that, you know, maybe is someplace else. So if you're in Hawaii, you're going to be able to get a pineapple in October. But if you're here in Colorado, that's probably not a local seasonal produce item. April, what are you doing for the fall? What do you got going on? And
I, as far as what I teach, I always start to slow down. So in my teaching, I really make sure that things are going slow and we're having time to, you know, just lie down. And, you know, I do so much on the floor anyway, because it gives us an opportunity to awaken muscle groups and, you know, facilitated and inhibited, and you know, we notice so much more because we're not having to hold ourselves up under gravity. So like, it's like our little laboratory when we lie down on the floor. So, you know, I really get into like a little bit slower, a little bit deeper, and, you know, whatever that may look like. Sometimes I've got, you know, I've got resources to really work with acupressure in the metal phase of, you know, in the metal phase. So really work in the lung line there. So I'll do that every once in a while. Joints always work with, I really, you know, depending on the weather, it just really depends on what that day is. But if it's, you know, if it dropped quickly or something like that, or it's very chilly, I would definitely work in joints. Definitely work in being like grounded, like just get down. You don't, you know, it's beautiful to go running or swimming or whatever. And also just make sure you're taking a moment to just kind of like lie down and connect. Because again, there is a lot of spinning up of things just naturally happening. And a lot of times, you know, we don't really realize, we blame ourselves for being over anxious, or we blame ourselves for getting too busy. And, you know, a lot of times we just weren't really taught to give credence to, there's a lot of things that affect us. It's not just us. You know, the seasons greatly affect us. We're here in nature. We're nowhere else, right? So yeah, we have to really give that honoring and permission to ourselves to be like, it's okay that we're a little spun up. It's just meant to, you know, it's natural. And we have the opportunity to know how to ground. So for me and my Vata self, what I do when I know I'm getting a little spun up is, you know, warm spices, root vegetables, oils, like I love the olive oil, or, you know, even like outer oil. And then I just go outside, get my feet onto nature, and then make sure that I'm just kind of lying down and taking that moment or that time of really grounding. So really the opposite of what's going on is figuring out what grounds you, whatever that may be. It may be different things, you know. However, for the most part, it's the opposite of the airy things. So you want to kind of avoid like the salads, and not all the time, just when you feel maybe more spun up or a little colder, because you're just adding like to like at that point. So it's just about the balance, really. It's about, okay, well, I'm kind of cold and I'm kind of spun up, and how can I balance this back out, ground and warm? So, you know, that's a rule of thumb for whatever's going on. It's what's the juxtaposition of the opposite thing? And how can we add that?
I love it. I love it. And I have a recipe up on my site on Lisa M. Gunshore. So what I'll do is I'll add that also to our OHO page, so you guys can find it there. But it's for get grounded brownies. And it's an Ayurvedic recipe with sweet potato and raw cacao and ashwagandha. And they're the best brownies you're ever going to eat. Like, I'm a chocoholic. These are awesome. And normally I could eat as much chocolate, but these are so rich and grounding, and they're so clean and delicious. They're made with hazelnut butter and almond butter, and oh my God, they're so good. And they really are grounding, and you really don't need that. I mean, you could eat a little square and you're good. So I know I'm going to be making these this weekend on my free day, because I'm in the middle of this 30-day cleanse. So that recipe is awesome, and I'll get that up too. And just look for all of us. All of our information will be on the oneheartoneearth.net website. We have our OHO clinic page, which has all of our practitioner information, and we're adding a few others. Not we, my amazing and talented communications manager is doing that chore for me. So that'll be up soon. And then all of us pitch in and share articles and recipes and things on the articles page. So just go there and you'll find all the stuff on there. You can either search by category or you can search by any of our names too and see what we wrote. And we'll be updating that as well. So for everybody who's listening. And then I want to invite everybody who's listening, please, please, please feel free to put your questions in the comments section of this video once it posts, because we'll go back and I'll compile these questions and share them with all the practitioners, and then we can come back next month and answer some of those questions for you guys, right? Don't you guys think that's a good idea?
Yes.
Yeah, and you can sign up for April's classes online at her website, which is aprilrenee.co. You can find all of Cheryl's herbalist information at thecoloradoherbalist.com. You can find all of my functional Ayurveda information at lisamgunshore.com. But you can find all of us in our links at oneheartoneearth.net too, in case you needed any more websites to keep track of. Those are all of them, so many. And thank you, ladies, for joining me today. I'm excited about where we're headed. I'm really, really excited. I applied for a grant to kick off our One Heart, One Earth Clinic. And so we all have to send light and love that we get this grant, because it's going to help us to do some cool stuff virtually for everybody who's participating with us now, and for all of us as clinicians to continue to do our work. So keep your fingers crossed. I feel good about it. So they viewed the application, so something's got to be coming soon. Thank you, ladies, so much. I just love both of you, and I appreciate everything.
Thank you so much.
Oh my gosh. Thank you, ladies. Have a great day, everybody who's listening and watching. And if you're in the middle of your cleanse, just hang tight a little bit through the month. This is the transition month to do it. And I'll be back tomorrow with Satyam. We rescheduled his Tuesday podcast because of my strep throat. But we're back tomorrow at 11 with him. And then we are off for Labor Day weekend, so everybody can enjoy their weekend. But Satyam is going to be talking about breath work as a yogi tomorrow, which I'm really excited about, because he's really going to deep dive into breathing. So I think we could all use that going into fall too. So it's another good thing to talk about. So, all right. I love you, ladies. I love everybody who's watching. Have an amazing Thursday. That's the day it is. All right, bye.
Bye.